And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and welcome to today's show. While the summer slowly fades away and the days get shorter and the nights cool off, our focus today remains on the overall health of all in the South Okanagan. Although much has taken place recently, it's in a turn for the better. I was actually in the South Okanagan and the Similkameen last week, having a look at the 2023 harvest and tasting some wines from 2020, 2021, and 2022. So I'm going to update you a little bit on that. One of the things I noticed tasting the grapes, there's a really small crop, and we're going to hear more about that today, but the quality of what's coming in is quite amazing. I'm starting to sound like a winemaker here, but actually the fruit is really good and it's very early. So, you know, things remain, there is no constant anymore in the wine business. I guess we can say that. But looking forward to probably a short crop, but maybe a high quality one if we can get it all in the house before the rains come. And an early start is always good. You know, this time of the year also is, it reminded me being up there, it's a fantastic time to visit wine country in early to mid-September. You can do all kinds of things from golf, hiking, of course, visiting wineries. The fruit stands, they're full of this year's harvest, both vegetables and fruits, and you can have your pick of peaches, and it just goes on and on. Pumpkins, there's all kinds of stuff going on there. So that's a nice thing you can grab on the way home, or you can grab to enjoy while you're in the valley. And speaking of that, it's not just the Okanagan, places like the Cowichan. It's a fantastic place to visit in the fall. And if you don't know much about Pinot Noir and Chardonnay on Vancouver Island, that's a good place to start. The Similkameen still, for me, wild and windy. It's really come alive in the last 4 or 5 years, so there's 5 or 6 outstanding wineries there that you can stop in. Also, there's a couple of restaurants now, lots of things happening there, and you're only 25 minutes from a Soyuz. Both the South and the North Okanagan are hoping that you'll come by this fall. They've had a tough season. They're looking for people to visit, which means there's no crowds there. There's no lineups, so it's easy to maneuver the valley and get around and visit wineries and spend some time. And one of the things about a short crop is that they have lots of time for you, usually during the harvest. They just don't have that time available to spend with you, but this year they're going to have that. So be sure to do all that. Book yourself, 3 days, 4 days, go to the valley, and probably you can get a good deal because of the hotels. Had so many cancellations, there's plenty of room for you there. So you can take all that in. Now, on today's show, we're going to talk Pinot Noir and Rosé with Leah Dent. She's a winemaker from Oregon's Arath Winery, now over 40 years old. So I look forward to talking to Leah about that. Ross Wise will be in the studio. He's a GM and director of winemaking for Peller Estates. We're going to talk about Black Hills, where he makes the wine, but it'll be a wide-ranging discussion about white and red wines. You won't want to miss it. Ross is really one of those guys who's generous with his time and his information, and he can talk about wine. But up next, Michael Clark of Clos du Soleil joins us to talk about his journey through the harrowing 2023 growing season and the current harvest in the Similkameen Valley. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and we are set to go.
More to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and this is Destination Langley, BC. Our guest is Aaron Credba, Executive Director at Tourism Langley. Aaron, we're thinking about back to school in the end of summer days, but there's still a few great events coming up in Langley that we can look forward to.
That's right, Anthony. Summer might be coming to an end, but it isn't the end of great events in Langley.
Well, tell us a bit about some of the upcoming events.
Of course. Let's start with the Langley Good Times Cruise Inn on September 9th. This is something you have to see to believe. Thousands of classic cars line the Fraser Highway in Aldergrove. You can stroll by, talk to their owners, shop at the vendor booths, listen to live music, and if you arrive early enough, you can be one of the lucky ones who can enjoy an In-N-Out burger that comes up all the way from California for the event.
Well, classic cars and In-N-Out burgers, that would be a great start to September.
Yes, and you might want to stay the night on September 10th because Langley is hosting a Feast of Fields event put on by Farm Folk City Folk. This is a wandering gourmet harvest festival. With a wine glass and linen napkin in hand, you can explore the host location of Stable Harvest Farms while listening to live music, tasting gourmet creations from top BC chefs, farmers, fishers, ranchers, food artisans, and beverage producers.
And tickets are available online?
That's right. Tickets are available at farmfolkcityfolk.ca.
Aaron, those all sound like fun. Anything else on the calendar?
The Stalu Powwow will be held at the Langley Event Center September 15th to 17th. This is an Indigenous gathering of dance, song, and family celebration, and everyone is welcome to attend.
And complete details for all the events are on your website.
That's right.
Aaron, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Anthony. Talk to you next time.
For more information, go to tourism-langley.ca. For Destination Langley, BC, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Estates. As a Rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at LiberEstates.com. Simply great wines.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, and welcome to the show. A shout out to Castlegar, Creston, and all 26 cities listening across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Our guest today is Michael Clark. He's the winemaker, general manager, and co-owner of Clos du Soleil Winery in the Similkameen Valley. Michael, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. I always enjoy the opportunity to chat with you.
Yeah, not easy to get a hold of people because the harvest is on, and obviously it's quite early.
Yeah, it's one of our earliest. We started harvesting at Clos du Soleil about a week ago, whereas in most years we're only harvesting mid-September, so a few weeks ahead of schedule.
Yeah. Is it warmer this year? I mean, I know there's less grapes. Why do you think it's so early?
Yeah, it's a combination of the growing temperatures that we had during the season, coupled with the fact that when you have fewer grapes on the vines, they ripen faster. And so because of extreme cold that we experienced and most vineyards and wineries experienced last December,
yeah,
the harvest is actually a lot smaller this year, so they're ripening faster. Doesn't necessarily affect quality. In fact, I'm extremely happy with the quality of the things we've harvested, but there's just less of it.
Yeah, actually, I was in the South Okanagan and the Similkameen last week, and I actually was amazed by the quality of the grapes that I was eating, the grapes that were growing. They had really a wonderful ripeness and acidity, so it looks good what's out there. I guess I know nothing counts until it's in the tank and made, but it looks like a decent start. I just wanted to ask you briefly, so of all your vineyards, how did you make out in the end? Are you growing grapes or just leaves, or what's happened at Clos du Soleil?
Well, to be honest, a lot more leaves than grapes this year, unfortunately. So as you know, when you have extremely cold temperatures, it can kill the buds, and the buds are where the effectively the grape clusters for the coming year are situated. So when that happens, you don't get any grapes.
Yeah.
So most of our vines survived the cold of last winter, and so by next year they will be producing a full crop and we'll be back to normal, but it means one year where we have extremely little grapes, unfortunately.
Yeah. And as I've been telling people, like last year was a generous vintage, but obviously by what's going to happen this year, next year there's going to be a scramble for wines, I think, in the retail marketplace, at least for your favorite wines.
Very true. Yes, absolutely. We're actually doing lots of planning around that right now because it's going to be such a small vintage. So at least at Clos du Soleil, the approach that we're taking is we're setting aside now wines for a wine club for the coming year to make sure that they can be they can get priority access to all of these wines.
Yeah.
One of the advantages of being in a wine club.
Right on. Okay, our guest is Michael Clark. He's the winemaker and GM and co-owner at Clos du Soleil Winery in the Similkameen Valley, one of the jewels of our wine country. Michael, let's talk about a couple of interesting wines now. They're both from the 2020 vintage, so maybe just quickly, it was a sensational year.
Yeah, I love the 2020 vintage. Most winemakers will tell you the same thing. Ideal growing conditions, nice yields, not too heavy, but a really nice crop and a beautiful fall. So it made harvesting conditions just perfect. And I think you know, you'll see that in both of these wines, where there's a freshness to them, but also really ripe fruit character.
Yeah, some nice gravitas. Well, let's start with the Clos du Soleil signature. You called it signature. There must be a reason.
Yeah, so this is one of our two flagship red wines. It is a blend of the five what we call Bordeaux varieties, the red varieties that Bordeaux is so well known for, so Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Malbec, and Petit Verdot. And this kind of wine is one of the wines that Clos du Soleil has really built its reputation around. My goal as winemaker with this wine, and really with all of our wines, is to let it tell a story. So when we're picking the grapes, when we're turning the grapes into wine, everything I'm trying to do is to protect the sense of place, protect the flavor of the ground where the where the grapes are actually grown, and make sure that that's translated into the final wine that the customer is going to.
Yeah. Well, tasting this wine, obviously, there is a tremendous amount of ripe black fruit in this wine, some pepper, cedar. What do you think is that, what you're protecting? What is it that shows up in the wine?
Yeah, well, to me, that's a question about what makes the Similkameen unique, what makes our vineyards unique, and then how do you taste that in the wine? And for me, there are a handful of things. One is Similkameen's really well known for distinct mineral character, and to me, especially in red wines, that often tastes like graphite, like pencil lead.
Yep.
And I think you'll probably notice that on the finish in particular of this wine. We also get a lot of herbal character too. That could be that sagebrush that is so prevalent here, as well as in the South Okanagan, and that really comes and in my view, really complements that ripe fruit character. Mm-hmm. It makes the wine more interesting.
Well, I think, you know, if you're in the Similkameen in the afternoon, that wind is blowing, and you can really pick up on the desert scrub, that sagebrush in the air, which somehow finds its way into the wine. You also do something many people don't. You're fermenting in concrete. That's a big change for, let's say, if we went to Bordeaux, you wouldn't see a lot of that. Tell us a bit about your philosophy with concrete and why you're doing that.
Yeah, we've been fermenting in concrete for the last 8 or 9 years at Clos du Soleil, and I'm a big believer. We use concrete for all of our red ferments in particular, and to me, the wine picks up more interesting textural character when you ferment in concrete. It also helps modify the temperatures as you ferment, and that's a really important aspect in producing quality wine. Another thing that makes us at least somewhat unique is our focus on wild ferments at Clos du Soleil. So for signature that you're tasting now, that's entirely wild ferment, meaning we didn't add any yeast, and it helps reinforce that sense of unique place for the wine, because it's the yeast that is actually indigenous to the particular piece of land.
Yeah.
Or vineyard.
The Clos du Soleil Signature 2020, $55.90, available now. This is a gold medal winner at NWAC and really an impressive wine, maybe one of the best vintages yet from Signature. And we know from past experience that this is going to age effortlessly. Michael, let's move on to Syrah, because I'm worried about Syrah. A lot of Syrah was damaged across British Columbia last year. How about yours, and what can you tell us about this Syrah that we have in front of us at the moment, which is the 2020 as well?
Yes, so I think Syrah can make an absolutely beautiful wine in BC, and particularly in the Smalkamine, which is why we've made it a permanent part of the portfolio at Clos du Soleil, even though we've built our reputation around those Bordeaux varieties. But to me, it really has an interesting story to tell. There has been a lot of damage to vines, it's true. We were actually fortunate at Clos du Soleil. So while there isn't a whole lot of Syrah fruit from 2023, we've actually been planting more vines. And what I'm happy to tell you is that they all survived the cold.
Oh, that's good news.
Looking healthy this year. So, yeah, so I'm really happy about that. This particular Syrah, the 2020, is fermented with Viognier that we grow ourselves
right.
as well. So it's fermented in concrete tanks, just like the Signature that we had before. It's 97% Syrah, and then the 3% Viognier that we add into add the crushed berries on top of the Syrah in the tank. And to me, it makes this beautiful wine because it's a really nice balance between really ripe, juicy berry fruit character combined with the kind of spicy character that Syrah is frequently known for, with some floral character as well. So when you put that all together, to me, it's just a delicious wine.
You put that all together, you get a complex wine. And for me, this is, I like to say, a stony mineral affair in the back end, which, you know, I just love because I know that this wine's going to live a long time in the bottle. And I know it's hard to quantify what happens, but these wines just get better in the bottle for a number of years. It's almost like a patina. They put on a little more weight. They put on a lot more flavor. They just expand, and they become something much bigger than what you would guess it would be in terms of an experience when you drink it.
Yeah, it makes me so happy to hear you say that because we really pride ourselves at Clos du Soleil on the ageability of our wines. When we release them, we realize lots of people will want to drink them in the near term, and we always release them when they're very enjoyable. But for people who want to put a few bottles away, it really pays dividends.
Yeah, and you age this wood, pardon me, in French oak for 16 months, but hardly any new oak, which I think is impressive because for some reason, I don't know what it is, the Okanagan wines don't really thrive with a lot of new oak.
Yeah, I agree. It's easy for new oak to cover up the fruit character and really cover up what makes the wine distinct. So for all of our wines, I try to have a really light hand in terms of how much oak character is in the wine. And the Syrah is a perfect example of that, where it was all older, what we call neutral oak.
Yeah.
And so it's still an ideal vessel for aging wine, but it doesn't actually give really any oak flavors or aromas.
2020, the Clos du Soleil Syrah. It's $39.90. This is a fantastic wine. I hope people can grab a few bottles of this before it disappears. Michael, the time just flies by very quickly. The best way to get your wine now moving forward might be to join the wine club. How is that done?
Yeah, so it's very easy to join. People can do it in person if they want to come and visit us, but the easiest thing is on the internet. If they go to our website, there's a special section for the wine club, and with just a few clicks, anybody can join. It means that you receive two shipments a year, and in addition to that, you get a substantial discount on all your purchases throughout the entire year. And then, as we mentioned earlier on, one of the best advantages right now is you get priority access to wine during a year when there won't be a lot around.
Thanks so much, Michael. Back to the harvest. Don't work too hard.
I'll try not to. Thank you.
That was Michael Clark, winemaker, general manager, and co-owner of Clos du Soleil Winery in the Similkameen Valley. Still ahead, Ross Wise, GM and director of winemaking, joins us to talk about Black Hills Estate Winery. Join us next. We're going to talk about red and white wines with Ross. It's going to be a fascinating discussion. On the radio weekly in 26 cities across British Columbia or on demand on all the major podcast platforms, this is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
Penticton, a perfect place for everyone. Plan your September vacation around these great events. Take part in the oldest gravel fondo in Western Canada, the Kettle Metal Gravel Fondo. Or watch some pickleball and support the Canadian Mental Health Association with the CMHA Pickleball for Mental Health Tournament. Hockey fans, catch the Vancouver Canucks Young Stars Classic at the South Okanagan Event Center starting September 15th. Go to visitpenticton.com for information on these and more festivals and events.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature-controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
Meet, greet, eat. Make your next event one to remember. Whether it's business or family, the newly renovated conference and event center at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos has options for any occasion. From intimate gatherings to large celebrations, indoor or lakeside, you'll find everything you need at the Watermark. And when it's time to relax, enjoy breathtaking views as you savor the local flavors of 15 Park Bistro. Open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Find out more at watermarkbeachresort.com.
A ring-a-ding-ding. Time for happy hour at the Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. Featuring wine by the glass starting at just $5, along with the most fabulous gourmet bites the West Side has ever seen. Daily from 2 to 5 p.m. Plus, join us for Tommy and Tannen Tuesdays. Order a giant tomahawk ribeye and get your first bottle of Mount Boucherie Reserve Merlot for just $5. The Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. See you today.
Penticton. Plan your fall vacation around these great musical events. Bonnie Raitt returns to Canada for her Just Like That tour, coming to the South Okanagan Event Center September 22nd. On the 28th, catch Steel Panther at the Penticton Trading Convention Center for their On the Prowl World Tour. Or rock out to Juno Award winners Billy Talent on October 13th at the SOEC. Make sure to go to visitpenticton.com for information on these and more concerts and events.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. My guest is Ross Wise. He's the GM and Director of Winemaking BC for Andrew Peller. He also makes the wine at Black Hills Estate Winery. And he grows a lot of grapes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Great to have you. Great to have you in the studio in Vancouver.
Yeah, good to be here.
Yeah. You snuck away from the harvest, which which apparently is on the go.
It is on the go pretty early this year. But yeah, I missed a day of pressing Syrah Rosé yesterday. So it's good I got out of the cleanup, I guess. So that's
Well, you have a new title. Maybe we'll just talk. What are you doing there? You have so many things, juggling so many things. Can you tell us exactly what you're up to?
Sure, yeah. So I'm still winemaker at Black Hills. That's number one.
Yeah.
Recently, I've taken on the general manager duties at Black Hills as well, which is a lot of fun. So overseeing all the operations there at the estate.
So you're the captain of the ship there now.
Yeah, I guess so, yep.
Yeah.
Captain Ross. So yeah, and then still director of winemaking for BC for Andrew Peller Limited for overseeing, working with the winemakers at the other properties in BC as well.
Yeah, so that's like Tinhorn?
Yeah, Tinhorn, Sandhill, Red Rooster, and Grey Monk.
Yeah, you're a busy guy.
Yep, very busy.
but it is nice to you get to travel up and down the valley to see what's going on. I think that's probably useful, eh?
Yeah, that's fun. It's always a good drive. A bit longer to get up the valley at the moment with the road closure, but yeah, it's certainly enjoy getting up to the north end as well. Yeah.
Well, we decided we were going to talk about white wine today. I feel like there has been a movement to white wine. White wine's really gaining a lot of popularity again. It's evening up in some ways. It was way behind red wine in the 80s and 90s. But tell us about your philosophy and what's going on at Black Hills.
Yeah, so I love making white wine. To me, that's probably, it's probably to me even more fun than red wine.
Mm-hmm.
To me, white wine, it's 100% down to the site. So we look for cooler sites for the likes of Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc. And then with our Rhone white varieties, they really love the Black Sage Beech.
Yeah. So let me interrupt you. If you look for cooler sites, why? Yeah. Why is that important?
Okay, so to me, Chardonnay, it ripens pretty early, and it can get a little bit sort of soft and rich in warmer sites. And I'm a Chablis junkie, so I love a cooler style of Chardonnay. So I look to a cool vineyard, which is high altitude, a little bit further north from the winery. Yeah. And similar for Sauvignon Blanc, to retain the freshness and the aromatics, we look a bit further north.
So more Chablis, less Napa style, perhaps.
That's my preference anyway.
Yeah. Our guest is Ross Weiss. He's the winemaker at Black Hills Estate Winery. Ross, you also work with Olivier Humbrook, who's a very famous white winemaker. What is Olivier doing with you guys?
I worked with him previously at a previous job at Phantom Creek. And it was incredible. I'm still in touch with him, by the way. I had a good chat with him in Germany this year. So he sort of made me rethink the way I was making white wine, both from a pressing point of view and from a maturation and fermentation perspective. So, yeah, he changed everything I do. And even though we're not actually making any Alsatian varieties that I was working with Olivier at Phantom Creek with, we still use the same principles. So really long, extended, gentle press cycles, wild fermentation for everything, aging gently on lees without disturbing the lees at all during maturation, and just bottling the wine when it's ready. So yeah, he taught me a lot of different tricks,
These press cycles, can you explain that? Like long, so it's, what are you doing when you get those grapes?
Yeah, so let's
talk about Alibi. So what would you do when it comes in?
Yeah, so Alibi, it's Sauvignon Blanc based blend. Firstly, it's whole bunch press. So we hand harvest, whole bunch press the grapes. And then the press cycle, it might be 10 hours long versus a standard press cycle in the industry might be more 2 to 3 hours long.
Yeah.
So very slow increments of pressure build up and very long time at each pressure step and very few rotations of the press. So what we get is clean, fresh juice without any phenolics, without any cloudiness in the juice, and we can go straight to barrel after the press cycle. So, yeah, I find you get the best out of it from a texture and aroma perspective without any phenolics.
Yeah. And phenolics, for those who may not know?
Yeah, it's the sort of the grippy astringent stuff you get. Yeah. So, yeah, the quicker you press, the more likely you are to get the astringency.
You just get a cleaner wine.
Yeah, exactly.
What about Alibi? What's the history of this wine? I know that it's changing with you, so tell us a bit about that.
So this was the first white wine Black Hills ever made. It was sort of the Bordeaux white blend answer to Nota Bene, our first red wine.
Yeah.
So Sauvignon Blanc and Semillon has always been the blend. I think it's a great blend. It's always done well, but I think what I've changed since I came on board, obviously we moved the Sauvignon Blanc a little bit further north. We didn't move it, but we chose a vineyard further north, looking for freshness and intense aroma. And we've really reduced the amount of Semillon in there. To me, Sauvignon Blanc's always been the strength of Alibi, and it's what I think is the true character of the wine. Mm-hmm. So the 22 release we've got at the moment is 94% Sauvignon Blanc, and I think we'll be 100% Sauvignon Blanc from 2023 vintage.
Nice. It's really nice. I like the evolution of this wine. So crisp and clean. And Sauvignon, I think, is an underappreciated variety in BC, because what we see from it now is really high-quality wine.
Yeah, I really like it. To me, the aroma we get, it's probably more advanced than that sort of grassy New Zealand style of Sauvignon Blanc. It's verging on tropical, but even in a cooler year like the 22 we're tasting now, though, it's still got great freshness, great ripeness, and passion fruit gooseberry character.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the quote Rhone varieties, although we have to get rid of these words. I don't know how we do that, but you're in love with Viognier.
I love Viognier, yep.
Well, let's talk about why you love Viognier first.
I guess I love it because it loves our backyard. It grows so well where we are.
Yeah.
I really enjoy making it too. So to me, the variety, it is quite aromatic, but it's also got a richness to it that that I think you don't often get outside of the likes of Chardonnay. And Roussanne is the other one we grow, and it's probably even richer again, richer in textural. So to me, I love the texture and softness of the varieties. The Viognier, as I said, it really loves the Black Sage Bench. I think you get great ripeness every year. You get those beautiful floral, peachy aromas, but it's not that super big, overblown, heavy, overripe Viognier character you can get. So I think that's our style. We sit between a fresh wine and a big rich wine.
Yeah, there's no cloying character in that wine, which can happen with a lot of Viognier. Some people love that, but I prefer this style. This is a much better seafood wine in this style.
Yeah, for sure. And this one was aged and fermented in concrete tanks as well, which is another little switch for us. So we're moving away from stainless steel, which I find I don't know, a little bit boring, a little bit sort of sterile. Concrete
brings a little bit dead.
Exactly. It doesn't really add anything to the wine, whereas concrete and old oak, which we use for a portion of this, it brings a bit of texture, a bit of complexity as well.
So. I always remember Alberto Annanini, he said to me, he said, what do you smell when you smell a stainless steel tank? And I said, I don't really smell anything. He says, I smell death. Because he's a big fan of concrete. So.
Yeah.
Well, you love white wine. You've been traveling a bit. You went to I4C. Let's talk a bit about your experience in Chardonnay there.
Yeah, so I love Chardonnay. So, yeah, actually, we poured our 2020 Chardonnay at the MW Symposium in Germany this year, which was awesome to be able to pour it to the world. And
what did they think or
say?
Yeah,
they loved it. We poured our Syrah there as well, actually, and we got a lot of good comments. Lot of sort of French comparisons, which is good and bad because we were sort of forge our own path here as well. And then we poured the 2021, the new release at I4C in Niagara, and I thought it showed really well. And yeah, even from a really hot vintage in BC, like 2021, it just showed great freshness and, shows the benefit of choosing those higher elevation sites.
You're in the middle of harvest. Are we going to see much white wine this year, or what's happened at Black Hills in terms of the whites, at least?
Yeah, I think white wines were on track. Viognier is going to be a little bit down, but Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc or Alibi are probably about where we'd normally be. So from the cold winter, white wines were less impacted. Red grapes were going to be a little bit shorter for sure. Syrah, Merlot, Cab Sauv, they all took a bit of a hit in the winter. So, we might be a little bit limited on production for the reds.
Mm-hmm. Does it change the way you think about some grapes now? Or, like, will you change some things or just replant? Or how will you deal with what's happened?
Yeah, I think replanting is the key. So we were already sort of planning a replanting. A few of our blocks had sort of reached the end of their productive life, I guess you could say. So we had a plan in mind anyway. It's probably sped that up a little bit for a couple of blocks. We're going to plant the same varieties. Syrah, we definitely see it's done better on the slopes from this winter. So we'll only be planting it on the steeper slopes on our property now. Merlot, we're going to plant a little bit less, just as obviously climate change is warming us up. We find that our Black Sage bench is more suited to Syrah, Cab Sauv, Cab Franc, so it'll be a little change in the balance.
And for our, frankly, very lovely casual wine drinkers, why the slopes with Syrah? Can you explain that? Or
yeah, so airflow. It's to do with airflow. So on the flatter surfaces, you get colder in the winter.
Yeah.
Whereas the slopes, you get more air movement going down the slope, so it tends to keep them warmer. So on the slope, Syrah has the best chance of survival.
Yeah. You have been growing grapes on both sides of the valley. Do you have a preference for red and white, or is it just site determinant?
Yeah, it's a good question. I really like Merlot on the sort of the western side of the valley, the Golden Mile side, and the rockier soils over there. But I do love the Black Sage and the finesse that it brings to tannin and the softness of fruit. I'm a Black Sage guy for reds.
Yeah. Yep. Fascinating, Ross. Always great to catch up with you. Love to talk about white wine. It seems to get short shrift and out in the marketplace, but it's really making a great comeback.
Yeah, I love making them. They're a lot of fun.
Thanks for joining us. Ross Weiss, you will notice that Ross has a big job and a big load, but he's doing a great job at Black Hills and with all the Peller Estate wineries, tweaking and refining and changing what's happening across the Okanagan. And Ross, you're always very generous with your information, too. Good for you.
Not a problem.
We'll take a short break. You're listening to BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi. We'll be right back.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Discover award-winning wines in the stunning Okanagan Valley at Tinhorn Creek Winery, the ultimate destination for wine lovers. Enjoy relaxed tasting experiences featuring premium wines sourced from the Golden Mile, or embark on a one-of-a-kind sensory adventure with a black glass blind tasting. And for delicious Mediterranean-inspired cuisine made with locally sourced ingredients, Mirador Restaurant is waiting. Good food, great wine, unforgettable memories. Tinhorn Creek Winery. Visit tinhorn.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi with 2 Minutes in Cowichan. Our guest is Kenzie Knight from Tourism Cowichan. Like other areas of BC, farms and the culinary scene are the places to be of late. And Kenzie, the Cowichan seems to have a lot to offer when it comes to that.
For sure. The Duncan Farmers Market is a must-see. It's one of BC's oldest and largest farmers markets. The market happens year-round, so every Saturday you can head downtown to shop from the local farmers, growers, makers, and artisans.
Well, we love a good farmer's market, and actually I've been to the Duncan Market, and it is quite a scene. You will want to check it out. Tell us more about some of the agricultural scene in the region.
Cowichan's home to over 700 working farms. Quite amazing. Because of the warm climate and fertile soil, Cowichan has been growing and producing artisanal food and drink for decades. It's also Vancouver Island's official wine region and home to 14 wineries.
And I think it's why the Cowichan has such a growing and celebrated food scene.
Yes, the food scene in Cowichan is incredible. From cozy bakeries to fine dining, there's something for everyone. Many of the local restaurants use food that was grown or produced right in the region, so it's a welcome return to simplicity where the slow food movement is celebrated.
So close to Victoria and Vancouver, it's a breath of fresh air to get away from the big city and unwind in the stunning Cowichan countryside.
Yes, on any drive, you'll find numerous farm stands on the side of the road filled with fresh seasonal fruits and vegetables, eggs, meats, milk and cheese, all made right here in the region. I'd also recommend renting e-bikes to explore the countryside, and you can stop at local farms and wineries along the way.
Farms and farmers markets, wineries, all close to our heart here at the BC Food and Wine Radio. We highly encourage you to discover something new on the farm in the Cowichan. Kenzie, thanks so much.
You're most welcome, Anthony. We look forward to seeing you at the Duncan Farmers Market this summer on Saturday. Don't forget there is live music.
Okay, it's a deal. I'm going to make my plan, and you can make your plans at tourismcowichan.com. Till next time, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with great acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. Our guest is Ross Wise. He's the GM and Director of Winemaking for Andrew Peller across British Columbia. And, of course, he makes the wine at his home, Black Hills Estate Winery on the Black Sage Bench. Ross, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Fun to have you here. We're going to talk about red wine at Black Hills, or maybe even in general. But let's start with Black Hills. When you came to Black Hills, they were known for one red wine, mostly, Nota Bene.
Yep.
And a lot of people bought it every year and sold it out. Was that a surprise to you? Or like when you have one wine there, how do you attack the whole group now?
That's a good question. Yeah. Actually, I didn't realize the passion that was behind Nota Bene from our club members and the general public. So yeah, that was a bit of an eye-opener. But yeah, it was certainly the leader. And there was still that same other SKUs that we're working with now. I think what I wanted to do was give the other wines their own identity too and let them stand on their own feet alongside Nota Bene.
So, well, let's talk about the lineup in general. So what are some of the grapes you're working with and how have they funneled into individual labels?
Sure, yeah. So we've always had the Carmenere there. So that's still standalone, a club-only Carmenere, which has got an equally passionate following.
What do you think about Carmenere in BC?
You know, I kind of like it. I was on the fence when I started, but I've grown to like it. I really like its texture and it tends to get full ripeness at about 13% alcohol, which I really like as well. It's quite fresh, so I call that climate change proof. It's one that's got a few legs as we warm up.
It doesn't get too herby like the Chilean one, or
it's certainly pretty savory and peppery. But our customers seem to love that, so it's good. Syrah is another one that's always been on the books, and I love working with Syrah. And then obviously the Bordeaux blends and the Cab Syrah we make. So we make Cab Syrah ipso facto, which is probably our biggest, boldest wine. Addendum, which is our Merlot showcase, and Per Se, which is our Cab Franc showcase.
You got your hand in all the varieties.
Yeah, it's good fun. Yeah, I don't know. I think all the varieties do so well on the Black Sage Bench. Yeah. It's nice to give them a little showcase. But ultimately, I think they're better as blends. So I always think a bit of Merlot helps the Per Se, the Cab Franc.
We all thought Harry McWaters was crazy when he planted red varieties. I mean, it's only been since 1990 that the Black Sage Bench has come alive that way. And probably only since 2010 that they've started to ripen properly as well.
Yeah, that's probably a fair comment. I think I'm actually looking back at some of the old Nota Bene's. I mean, 03, which was a really hot year, it's still a stunning wine. So, yeah. But now that's sort of our normal year, sort of level. So, yeah, I think we're really into the Cab Sauv, Syrah, Cab Franc ripening zones now.
Well, we're going to talk about a very unusual wine, in my estimation, your Tempranillo. Some early Tempranillo was undrinkable in BC and Washington. But I have been surprised over the last two decades how it's evolved and adapted.
Yeah, and as we were talking about climate change, I think it's one with a big future here in BC. So, yeah, we've been making Tempranillo since, I think it was 2016. It was before I started, from one of our previous vineyard managers' block just near in east of Soyuz, actually. So we had a small plot there and made a tiny volume. It was our smallest production every year. But we like what we saw, and we've actually decided we're going to plant 2 more acres of it this coming vintage. So, I think on the Black Sage bench, on the slopes again, I think we've got great ripening potential. It is actually a mid to early ripening variety.
So yeah.
Yeah, I think it's got great potential for us.
It's incredible, the texture in this wine. How is that achieved?
I don't know. I make all our Black Hills wines kind of like they're a Pinot Noir. I'm a little bit different that way. So it's all whole berry fermentation, very gentle in terms of pump overs.
I'm going to stop you again. So whole berry fermentation, why are you doing that? What's the result?
Yeah, so to me, it gives us more control over how we extract the tannins later on. So we're not crushing the berry at harvest. We're sending it to the tank as whole berries for the most part.
Yeah.
And then they'll just sort of crush themselves gently over time.
Yeah.
And we'll pump a bit of juice over the top. So it gives us a longer extraction to get the sort of tannin and texture profile we're looking for, but I think it gives us more control over it. So it extends the time in the fermentation, but helps us to shape that texture.
They're wonderful tannins, but as we say, sometimes tannin is not just tannin. Like, they can be really rough and sticky and tough, or they can be dense and sweet, like these ones are. They give you structure, but they don't dry you out.
Yeah, and it's tricky in BC. Like, we have such a short growing season and so much sunlight that we tend to get huge amounts of tannin, but it's not always super ripe tannin, so you do have to be really careful with it in the in the cellar. So that's sort of my approach, the whole berry gentle pump over approach to extract the best out of it.
Our guest is Ross Wise. He's the GM and Director of Winemaking for Andrew Peller Limited across British Columbia, but of course he makes the wines at Black Hill Estate Winery, and we're talking about the 2020 Tempranillo. This wine looks like it's going to go the distance of maybe 5, 7, 10 years.
Yeah, it's a good question. We haven't tried a lot of the older Tempranillo. Obviously, we've only been making it for 6 years or so. But I agree. I think it's got the structure. It's I think it's got 10 years potential, no problem.
Yeah, a lot of controversy about screw caps and corks still. Well, where do you stand in the group? You're in charge of a lot of wineries, so how do you deal with that?
Oh, big question. I personally like corks. I think it's a really good sustainable option. It's actually the capsules that I don't like, so I'll move away from them hopefully. But screw caps are great for keeping wine fresh. They really are. I think they're approachable. I think probably sommeliers and restaurants love them.
Like to open them, yeah.
Yep. So I think there is a good place for screw
caps. And corks are better today than they ever have been.
They definitely are. And yeah, you can get scan tested corks to eliminate the cork taint risk, I guess. Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about stewardship, owning land, taking care of it. What's the theme at Peller in BC now? What are you achieving under that?
Yeah, so overall at Peller, we're certainly looking at sustainability as sort of the minimum standard, I guess you could say, in the process of certifying all of our blocks that way.
Mm-hmm.
Black Hills, we've been in conversion to organics, I would say, for 3 years, so in transition, and we will be certified next year. So that's a big step for us.
Wow.
But it's also, I would think, the first step for us. I'd say it's a minimum point, and we're exploring regenerative viticulture as our next step. So that's going to be a lot of work, and there's a lot of learnings we have to do.
Wow, you're going to be out there with the cows.
That's the best part, yeah. Get some animals in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love that. I mean, Peller, like joining Mission Hill, that's a lot of wine that's being made organically now in a small area.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense in the Okanagan. We don't get a lot of rainfall, which brings the diseases,
mildew,
the mildews. Yep. So you still have to be on top of it, especially from flowering for the 6 weeks after that. But I remember Olivia Humbrick said, if you can't farm organically in the Okanagan, you can't do it anywhere.
Anywhere, so, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So that's our plan.
Okay, I let's talk a little bit about Black Hills. There's still lots of time left in the seasons. You know, a lot of people got scared off when the valley was shut down. It's wide open now. What can you tell us about what's going on? There must be rooms available and people are open for business.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great time of year to come and visit. It's probably the perfect weather, mid-20s every day. The sun's been shining for a week or so now. We don't have any smoke or wildfire issues like we had earlier in August. So, yeah, it's a perfect time to visit. We get a lot of wine buyers coming at this time of year.
That's a good time, yeah. And it's a small crop, so there's sort of less stress at the winery, I think, too.
Yeah, really good time, yeah. I wouldn't say I've seen a smiling winemaker yet because it's not quite that stressed. but yeah, it's a great time to visit. You see all the grapes going up and down the roads.
What, are you telling me you're still sleeping in a bed inside the winery for 6 weeks? Or
we're still going to walk the same number of rows, even if the crop's a little bit less than normal. So yeah, okay. It's still quite busy.
Yeah. All right. And finally, what about actually the experience at Black Hills? I know you've done a lot of work there. What can people expect when they visit there?
Yeah, well, I think when you come to Black Hills, we slow you down. We sit you down outside and give you a time to experience the wines. We've got a good range of white and red wines there. You can choose your experience from two or three different options. Yeah. But yeah, it's a quiet, slow paced, sit down and enjoy the wine in their natural setting kind of
experience. Any chance people see you while they're there? Or?
Quite often, actually. Now that the sort of GM has been added to my responsibilities, I spend a bit of time over there and really enjoying that. So.
You're enjoying being the GM.
I really am, actually. Yeah. It's good fun. Yep.
So you can actually approve the budget for winemaking now.
Exactly.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, we'll just have to shift it from somewhere else, I guess.
Ross, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I really enjoy the wines at Black Hills, and I love how you've taken them sort of under your wing and really done a great job. But for people listening, we talked earlier about Tinhorn. You got a really good thing going over there. Those wines are being tweaked and really are starting to jump out of the bottle as well. Well, we recently visited Red Rooster and had a great time. And Grey Monk is still there. It's a landmark in the north.
Yep, we've got some good things going on. Jen at Grey Monk, Leandro at Tinhorn, they're really lifting the game. So it's great stuff. Yep.
Thanks for your time, especially during harvest.
My pleasure.
Real pleasure to talk to you. Our guest was Ross Weiss. He's the GM and Director of Winemaking at Black Hills Estate and Director of Wines for British Columbia for Andrew Peller. There's plenty more coming up on the show. Don't go too far. We're going to head down to Oregon. We're going to have a quick chat with Leah Adint. We're going to talk about Pinot Noir from the Willamette Valley. You're listening to BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi. We'll be right back.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan, a perfect place for a BC road trip. Enjoy outdoor adventures and reward yourself after a day of activities with a visit to one of over 80 area wineries, cideries, and distilleries, or our 8 craft breweries. Experience fantastic locally sourced restaurants and gorgeous patios too. It's the perfect destination for a summer or fall getaway. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on wine tours, winery events, and help planning your trip. Go to visitpenticton.com.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with great acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Clos du Soleil makes wines that speak of the Similkameen soil where their grapes are grown and the souls of the people who call this valley their home. Winemaker Michael Clark and his team specialize in wines that blend Bordeaux grape varieties with their unique mountainous terroir. The result is wines that are elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil. Wild places, soulful wines. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Take me on a trip, I'd like to go someday. Take me to New York, I'd love to see.
Hello, British Columbia. We're back with a special shout out to Victoria, Oak Bay, Cowichan, Nanaimo, all parts of Vancouver Island, and all 25 other cities across the province. Our guest is winemaker Leah Dint from Arath Winery in Dundee's Hills, Oregon. We caught up with Leah at the Vancouver National Wine Festival earlier this year. We talked about Pinot Noir and, as you might expect, rosé and still red wines. We're the topic. Here's that conversation. First time we met. Great to meet you.
Lovely to meet you, too, Anthony.
I was saying that I had your rosé a couple weeks ago and just blew me away, and now I'm just smelling it again. What fantastic wine. We'll get to it, but it's exciting to have wine like this now.
It is.
Rosé, I mean, like this.
It's exciting to have wine all the time, right?
Used to be crazy colors and weird smells, and now it's so beautiful. Anyway, let's start with Arath. Why are you at Arath?
Well, it was a great opportunity that was too good to pass up.
Yeah.
But part of that opportunity was, you know, Dick Erath was a true pioneer.
Yeah.
In Oregon.
Totally.
And you know, a little moment for him as he just recently passed away.
Yeah.
But, you know, a true pioneer that, you know, there's only been two other winemakers, Dick Erath and Gary Horner, and now myself. And that's, it's a little intimidating to think about as I say it, but it's such an amazing opportunity to continue this legacy.
It's almost like a cult winemaking community in Oregon. Like,
it
it's
is.
A very tight-knit group.
It is. And there's people who have come from the technology industry who found their passion in wine. There's people who are doing it in their garage and just figuring out how to make it work. And, you know, and there's a good community of people who want to see others achieve greatness at the same time.
And you told me you make wine because you don't know how to do anything else.
It's true. It's all I've ever done.
That's so great. Oh, well. What do you like about Oregon, say, just in general? What is it that you like about the place?
I mean, I love Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
That's first and foremost. I love that I get to make sparkling wine from Pinot Noir.
Okay.
I get to make rosé from Pinot Noir, and I get to make a whole range of reds from Pinot Noir, from the lightest, most approachable style to that kind of funky, earthy, driven style to really fruit-forward styles. It's such a fun grape to work with. There's so many different ways you can take it.
Yeah. And do you covet Pinots from around the world, or do you get to try them?
Oh, yes.
And whose Pinots do you love?
I mean, it's hard to not say Burgundy, right?
Okay.
They're there. But I spent a lot of time in Australia, and I was really impressed with not just the Yarra Valley, but down in Tasmania.
Oh, yeah.
Some beautiful expressions of Pinot Noir down that way.
That's really taking off in Tasmania.
Yeah.
And New Zealand's always had a pretty strong program.
Absolutely.
Different style, but...
Yeah. I mean, Central Otago, that's another incredibly stunningly beautiful region.
Yeah. You're not too far from us in the Okanagan. Things are happening there with Pinot up
north.
That's
right. I tasted some at lunch today.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So you're catching up. Well, let's start. You brought a couple of wines. I want to talk a bit about this rosé. You know, everybody's making rosé, but they're not making it like you. What are you doing?
I'm going to go back to the grape. You know, I think if you talk to the accountants, it's hard to get Pinot Noir rosé because everyone wants to put it in that big, heavy red bottle.
Yeah.
But it is such a perfect rosé grape. It's got the acidity. It's got the freshness. The 2021 that we have now was the perfect vintage of a warm season, an early season, but it maintained that acidity. So 100% Pinot Noir rosé. You know, we farm it for rosé. We pick it for rosé. Everything we do is with intention.
It's a little Provençal, too. I really like some of the way that the nuance in this wine. And then when you think it's going to be, it's ripe or whatever, it's dry.
It is.
So then it's just have this beautiful, dry, you know, bring me some food finish.
That's, I mean, everything I make, I want it to be delicious on its own.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about meals. I'm thinking about who you're having it with, the family, the friends, you know, the first course, the second course.
Yeah, yeah. That is a lovely wine.
Thank you.
So should we drink it every year fresh or keep it, or what would you say?
I want it fresh, right? I want
Me too.
I like that, almost that little effervescence, that little zest in there.
Yeah. And what would you serve with it, do you think would be, what do you have a favorite?
You know, I go to like a strawberry kale salad. I have a pizza oven at home, so I pair everything with pizza.
I like that.
You know, maybe like a nice soft cheese might be nice as well, because it is nice and dry.
Maybe we have some very, very famous spotted prawns in BC.
There you go.
Yeah, spot prawns, and they are really amazing.
Yeah.
So they're so delicate. You can cook them like in 10 seconds in hot water, and it's a perfect match. I think it'd be great with that.
Absolutely. I actually grew up in Alaska, so everything, if it's not pizza, it's usually seafood on my dinner table.
Leah Aiden, she's a winemaker at Arath Vineyard, and we're talking about Oregon Pinot Noir now, and we're switching over to a rather famous label. Many of us know Arath because Dick actually came up here a long time ago, close by. What do you feel any pressure there, or what, like is there a style, or can you be your own style? I know it just comes from a place, but how would you? How do you get into making Pinot Noir?
It's both, right? There is pressure, I think, because there's such a legacy and a history, and people who, you know, this might be the first Pinot that they've ever had, or it's their staple, and I want to respect that. You know, I don't want to come in and change things overnight.
Yeah.
But I want to have a little influence over time. I'm in it for the long haul. So
but you're not supposed to do anything when you make Pinot, but you got to do something, right?
Oh, you got to have a little fun in there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So what do? You pick the grapes. How do you get involved at harvest and bringing in? What are all the decisions that you quickly make? Sort of.
To me, the most important decision is the day that you pick it.
Yeah.
You know, you can never take that back. You can never put the fruit back on the vine.
Yeah.
So nailing that is.
So that's an eating, chewing, walking, tasting decision.
Every day, looking at chemistry, but we really pick on flavor, you know,
because
if you need to, you can adjust chemistry sometimes, or you can blend things later to adjust that. But, you know, that fruit, that palate weight, the richness, the ripeness of the berries, that's...
Did that process scare you at the start, or was there a time when it just flipped over where you got comfortable, like, going in the vineyard to decide when to pick grapes?
I think... Fortunately, and I'm glad that most universities are set up this way, that you have to do your vineyard internships first.
Yeah.
And you can do those over the summer. So you actually, you know, just watching the grapes grow every single day and realizing, seeing those changes, because if you're walking vineyards, you're tasting grapes. And So I'm very fortunate, and I think that really is the right way to do it, to learn the grapes first and then learn the wine.
Yeah. This wine is just delicious. So savory. I love that character in it.
Yeah, thank you.
But the texture is nice, too. I mean, Pinot, for me, is a mouth wine, mostly, if you get it right. And what about the other wine, the other Pinots, the other clones? Like, what are you working with there that's most exciting?
So we've got, you know, we have our two estate vineyards, one in the Dundee Hills, and that's that bright cherry, very soft, velvety tannins, you know, everything that's where Dickie Rath started, right in the Dundee Hills and the Chehalem Mountains. And then we have a second property in the Ool at Amity Hills.
Mm.
And that's a little bit darker, a little bit more tannin right up front, a little more aging necessary. So, you know, if it's not harvest, that's my favorite time of year. It's the blending process. It's seeing how all these different vineyards come together, the different experiments we did come together, you know, getting those layers of the earthiness, the savory characters, the upfront fruit characters.
Well, you brought two delicious wines today, and you'll be pouring wines for people coming down to the festival or who don't get down to the festival. They need to look for these wines, which are available here in British Columbia now, so that's kind of nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, will you come back?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is my fourth time to the Vancouver Festival. I love it.
Yeah.
It's a great time.
So great to catch up with you and to taste these wines today, the Arath 2021 Rosé, which is $28.99, and the Estate Selection Pinot Noir is $46.99 and available in... private and select wine shops and government stores across British Columbia. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Anthony.
Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
That was Leah Dint, winemaker for Arath Winery in Oregon. We caught up with Leah at the wine festival earlier this spring. Just a reminder, the Vancouver International Wine Festival in 2024 is back on track with its regular dates at the end of February, so it won't be long before ticket sales will be announced. That's it for this week's show. Special thanks to our technical producer in Vancouver, Dwayne Bishop, assignment editor Sherry Caleb, and director of operations, Stu Ferguson. Next week, it's a South Okanagan focus as we check in with our home away from home and catch up with GM David McBean from the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos. And also, we'll talk sustainability with winemaker Severin Pint of Le Vieux Pin and La Stella from the Black Sage Bench in the Oliver region. For all of us at the show, I'm Anthony Gismondi, wishing you a great week ahead and an even better glass of wine.
That's it for today's show. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.